the 62nd Psalm, Psalm 62. I'll be reading the entire Psalm. There's 12 verses there, and follow in your Bibles as I read. And as I read, try to get the story of this Psalm and what David's talking about. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you magnify mischief, what we imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast down from His excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly, Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie, to be laid in the balance. They are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the privilege to handle your word and to talk about you as a great God. And we thank you, Lord, that for the picture we have in the scripture that we're going to speak about this morning, and that is that God is our rock. Christ is our rock. And I pray that we might understand that, Lord, and you might encourage our hearts and help us to know that we don't need to be afraid because we are on the rock and we're hidden by the rock, the Lord Jesus. Lord, there might be someone here today who's not saved. They've never trusted Christ. And I pray for them that they might realize today that their position is a very dangerous position. And outside of Christ, they are in great trouble. And the day will come, Lord, where it will be too late. And so I pray for them that they might come to know Jesus as their Savior today. Give enablement to bring the message. May you be honored and glorified through it all. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We often face times in our life when troubles surround us and our faith is put on trial. In Psalm 62, we find David threatened by enemies who intended mischief against him. Verse 3 says that, "How long will you imagine mischief against a man?" speaking of David. And they desired to cast him down from his exalted position as king, I believe. Verse 4, they only consult to cast him down. So they're trying to depose David and cast him down as king. They were actually two-faced enemies because the Bible says in verse 4 that they delighted in lies, and yet they blessed with their mouth and cursed with their heart. So they weren't what they pretended to be. They acted to David like they were his friends, but inwardly they were his enemies, and so they told lies. Now some believe the background for this psalm was the rebellion of Absalom, David's son, who sought to take the kingdom away from David and his father and led many to follow him in that insurrection. He disparaged the king, made fun of him, and built himself up as a king that would be a much better king than David would be. If this is the background, it would fit Absalom's dependence upon lies, because he told lies about his dad. And David's message to the people, because verse 8, he says, "Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Trust the Lord. Don't be overcome by these enemies. Trust the Lord." David warned the people that the men of low degree were vanity. In other words, they were breath. They were hot air. And so they were people that followed Absalom of low degree. And then he says those of high degree were a lie. And he says, if you take these and put them on a scale, they're less than vanity. So they weigh less than hot air. In other words, they don't amount to much. And so David is saying that these enemies against him are not to be depended upon him. He warned them against oppression, verse 10, and robbery, and the promise of financial reward. And he said, don't set your affection on those financial rewards. And that's what Absalom promised. He promised that he would make rich those people that followed him, that he would give them things that David wouldn't give them. And it sounds like our political campaigns today. But Absalom was against David. If this is the background, it sounds very much like it could be, then David's warning these people not to follow them because he says they will fail. In verse 3, it says, how long will you imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. All of those who rise up against God, they will be slain. As a bowing wall shall ye be in a tottering fence. It's like a wall that's getting ready to collapse, and it's already bowed out, and it's ready to go. He said, that's what you're like. And like a tottering fence, the fence is going to fall down. David says, if you're an enemy of God, you're going to fail. You'll always fail. Now, the image of a rock is mentioned several times in Scripture. In this passage, it's mentioned several times. In David's trouble, he was glad that he had a rock, and that rock was his God. Look at verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Look at verse 5. My soul wait thou upon God, and my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. David's saying, God is my rock. In verse 11, he says, God has spoken twice. Have I heard this? That power belongeth unto God. So he's saying, God is my rock, and God is my defense, and God is my refuge. In Scripture, we see this, as I said many times, God pictured as a rock. As we examine this subject this morning, Christ the Rock, I want us to look at this with the intention of encouraging us as Christians, because we often need encouragement. Sometimes people face great trials and troubles in their life that bring them in despair, and they wonder what to do. And God, they need to be reminded that God is their rock. But then those who are not saved, if there's some here today who have never trusted Christ as Savior, the very image of God as a rock should make you afraid. And we'll show you that this morning. But let's look at the rock, the picture of God as our rock. First of all, we see Christ is the rock of salvation. Look what it says in Psalm 62, verse 2. It says, he only is my rock and my salvation. Verse 6, he only is my rock and my salvation. Verse 7, in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. So Jesus is the rock of salvation. The Bible tells us back in Deuteronomy 32, verse 15, that it said that Israel lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Israel didn't pay the attention they should to the Lord, the rock, and they didn't properly value the Lord as the rock. In 2 Samuel 22, verse 47, it says, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. So the Scripture calls God the rock of my salvation. In Psalm 89, verse 26, thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Psalm 95, verse 1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of my salvation. In the book of Exodus chapter 17, the Lord is pictured as a rock. You remember the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, and they came to the place where they didn't have any water to drink. And they complained, they grumbled, and they wished they'd gone back to Egypt, or they'd never come out of Egypt. And they were grumbling at Moses, and Moses talked to the Lord about it. And the Lord said, see that rock over there? Go smite that rock, and out of that rock will come water. And so they did. In Exodus 17, verse 6 says, behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Oreb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. In the New Testament, we find in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Lord takes that passage and refers that to Jesus, and he says this, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink, For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So the rock followed them. It wasn't that the Jews many years ago thought that the rock actually followed along in a mysterious way. But the rock didn't follow, but the Lord did. And the Lord says, I'll be on that rock, and you smite the rock, and there will water come out. And so later they had the same problem, and the water came from that rock. So the Lord went with them in the rock. So he is the rock. Jesus is the rock. Now, we find out about him as the rock of salvation that, you know, to be the rock of salvation, Jesus had to be sinless. If he's going to die for our sins, he has to be sinless himself. It's interesting that the Bible speaks of God as a rock, and he says in Psalm 92, verse 15, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So he's the sinless rock. Also, to be our Savior, he had to be smitten. He had to die. And so we could say he's the smitten rock. Isaiah 53, verse 4, talks about Jesus and said he was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 6, the Lord lay on him the iniquity of us all. And verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him when he made his soul an offering for our sins. And so Jesus was smitten for us. He was the smitten rock. And being the sinless rock who was the smitten rock, because he did that for us, he is the satisfying rock. And so he satisfies it to us. And so that Moses smote the rock, and from that the people got the water, and they were satisfied. They drank. You remember the time the Lord met the woman at the well? She was troubled with her life. She was an immoral lady. And the Lord said to her, I'll give you water so that you'll never thirst again. In other words, he was saying, if you trust me, if you accept me as your Savior, I'll satisfy you. I'll take those longings that you have away, and you'll be content, you'll be satisfied in the Lord. Lord, there's many people today who are not satisfied because they've never met the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the rock of salvation. And so Christ is our rock, and he will satisfy. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know that's true. I don't know of anybody who's truly saved who has ever said, oh, I wish I wasn't saved. You know, the Lord satisfies you. You're glad that you know the Lord. And so he's the rock of salvation. He's also the rock of stability. Stability. I believe in as the rock of stability, he's the foundation for truth. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, it's an interesting verse. It says, he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. In this day and age, we need something like that, don't we? I mean, we need this, that there is a standard and there is truth. There is absolute truth. And God says something is right and something is wrong. And God says there are things that are iniquity and there are things that are good. And the Lord calls the shots, you might say, and tells us what is right and what is wrong because he's the rock of truth. He's the foundation of truth. Our country is unstable today because they've left the rock of truth. There is no truth today as the world looks at it. Everything is just subjective. You know, it all depends. And so there's no morality in our country today. And so everything is accepted. My son talked to me the other day. He's managing a staffing office for a staffing agency in Augusta, Georgia. And he was going after this company to see if they would allow them to staff, you know, send people to them that they could employ. And so he got online to read their requirements, this company that he was hoping would do business with them. And this company had on their requirements for anybody they did business with that they had to have diversity in their company. And they gave several things that would qualify a company to be diverse. One thing was that a woman would be the owner of the company. Just so happens, Joseph's company is owned by a woman. She's a Christian. Well, so that would make their company diverse. But then he said he read down through the list, and there were a whole lot of things, and one of the things was that the company had transgender people in the company that would make them diverse. In other words, that was a plus. God says that's a negative. Today, people accept homosexuality as if it's all right and criticize you if you judge them and say you're a hate person. You're a person whose hatred towards other people because they have a different sexual preference than you do. God says there's a standard, and God says that is wrong. And there's no question about it. God uses all kind of adjective to describe homosexuality. One thing is an abomination. Another thing, it's unnatural. God says that it's wrong, but we have left the standard of the Scripture, and so we don't have a rock of stability in our country. We don't have a standard of truth. Abortion is accepted today because people think that a woman has the right to choose, as if God doesn't have the right to say. God doesn't have a right to say something about this, but God does. And God would say that it's murder because a child in the womb is an individual human being that God has made and God has formed, and it's wrong, and the Scripture tells us that. But you throw out the Scripture and you have what you had in the book of Judges, and that is every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that's what we have today. Why? Because we have thrown out the rock of stability, which is the foundation for truth. But also, the rock of stability is the foundation for eternity. The Bible tells us in Psalm 40, verse 2, he said that the Lord saved this person. And he says, he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. The psalmist says, the Lord set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. In the book of Luke, we find the account that the Lord gives. And Luke, I believe, is the only one who records that. And it's in verse 48. It says, whosoever cometh, verse 47, who cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like unto a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. We have a lot of people with beautiful houses in their lives. And I'm not talking about a physical house. Their life is made to be a beautiful house because of what they possess, because of what they've been able to do, and what they've been able to accomplish. And people look and say, wow, what a life, what a life of accomplishment. But if they built that life on anything but Jesus Christ, the Lord says the judgment will come and sweep away the life. But if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're founded upon the rock Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, the Lord was speaking to Peter. Peter made a profession of faith. And he said in that profession of faith, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, Peter, thou art Peter, Petros, a small rock. And upon this rock, Petra, a big rock, I'll build my church. And he said to Peter, I found my church upon this rock. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ is our foundation. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have stability. You're on the rock of stability because you're on Christ. Does that mean a person on the rock of Christ never quivers? Oh, no. It doesn't mean that. It means that you might quiver, but the rock you're on doesn't. And that's the difference. You know, if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we might be afraid sometimes because of the storm. But the rock that we're on never moves. You sort of sense that in Psalm 62, because the psalmist says it like this. First of all, he says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. It's like David had a little bit of fear, and he says, I'm not going to be greatly moved. But then a little bit later in verse 6, he says, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And you know, the more you trust the Lord, the more firm you become and less able to shake on the rock. And so the Christian is founded upon the rock of stability, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also there's another picture of the Lord as the rock, and that is Christ is the rock of supply. He's the rock of supply. We find this in the book of Numbers. You know, the children of Israel were traveling through the wilderness. They're getting close to going into the promised land, but they still had problems. And the Bible says they mumbled again, they grumbled, and they complained because they didn't have any water to drink. And this took place in Kadesh. And they were there, and they didn't have any water to drink, and they started grumbling and complaining to Moses. And Moses got angry with them, and the Lord told Moses, he said, "Now, here's what I want you to do. You go over to that rock, and I want you to speak to the rock. And when you speak to the rock, the water will come out of the rock." Moses went over, and he had the rod of God in his hand, and he was angry at the people. And he said, "Oh, I saw I fetch you water out of this rock," and he struck the rock. And graciously, the Lord allowed the water to come out. But you remember what God told Moses? He says, "Moses, because you didn't honor me in this situation, and you didn't do what I told you to do, I'm not going to let you go into the promised land." So Aaron couldn't go, and Moses couldn't go. They both died before they went into the promise, before the children of Israel went into the promised land. Why? Because Moses destroyed the picture. And God said this, "First time you smite the rock, because Jesus Christ is the rock, and he must be smitten for you to be saved. But once he is smitten, there's no reason to smite him again." And so Jesus doesn't need to be killed again. He doesn't need to be crucified afresh. He was smitten once, and that's all. But after he's smitten, and after you've trusted him as your Savior, all you have to do is speak to him. Speak to the Lord. And so he says, speak to the rock. And so that shows us that this rock is the rock of supply. And all we do is speak to him. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find." Ask, pray. The Lord is the rock of supply. Just like the Israelites got the water out of the rock that second time, the Lord says, if you'll just speak to the rock, speak to the Lord, he'll give you the supply that you need. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." So he's the rock. He's also the rock of our strength, of strength. He's the rock of strength. Psalm 62, verse 7 again says it. "The rock of my strength." He's the rock of my strength. Isaiah 17, verse 10 says, "Thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation and hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength." Our rock of salvation and stability and supply will make us strong. I mean, if you know Jesus Christ as the rock of your salvation, and you're trusting him, and you're on that solid foundation, you'll also find that he is the rock of stability, and he'll give you the stability you need when the storms come. And he's the rock of supply, and he'll supply all your need. And knowing that, you can be strong in the Lord, and the Lord tells us to be strong in him. He's our rock of strength. Psalm 27, verse 1 says, "The Lord is thy strength, is the strength of my life." Psalm 29, verse 11, "The Lord will give strength unto his people." Psalm 46, verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "We are strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." We are strong as Christians because we have a rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock of our strength. Philippians chapter 4, Paul said like this, he said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." He makes me strong because I'm on the rock and because I'm stable. I don't have to worry. He's there, and he gives me the supply that I need so that I'm strong in the Lord. So no matter what comes, we can be strong in the Lord. A trial comes your way, and you have the verse in 1 Corinthians 10, 13 says, "There hath no temptation or trial taken you, but such as is common to man. But God will with the temptation or the trial also provide a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." And so the Lord is going to be with you all the time. He'll strengthen you. So the storms of life come, as David experienced. He experienced the storms of life. Absalom was against him, or maybe somebody else was against him. And he told about this. They're going to fail. They're all going to die. But he says, "God is my rock, and God is my strength, and I can trust him." So he's the rock. Also, we find that another picture of the Lord is the rock. And that is, he's the rock of shelter. Psalm 62, verse 2 says, he's my defense. Verse 7 says, he's my refuge. Verse 8 says, God is a refuge for us, a refuge, a place you go when in time of need. He's my shelter. I don't know if you've ever been out in the woods somewhere and a storm came up. I've had that happen. Out deer hunting and it starts raining, you know, and you look for a place for refuge. And if it's in the mountains, sometimes you'll find in a mountain, maybe the storm is blowing this way, and the mountain, on the lower part of the mountain, there's a rock. There's a big rock sticking out. I've seen that. And you get up under that rock, and that rock is a refuge from the storm and takes you away from the wind and the rain and all that because it's a shelter. You know, the Lord's our shelter. He's the shelter from the storms of life. The Bible says that he is my refuge. He's my defense. He's my shelter from the storms of life. So Absalom was against David. Other people might have been against David. But David just trusted the Lord, and in the Lord was his shelter. And therefore, David, you remember when Absalom had that insurrection, David left the city. He just wasn't going to let Absalom wreak havoc upon the people there, and he was just going to go on, and he was going to let Absalom have it if he wanted it, because he was going to trust in God. And so he trusted in the Lord, and the Lord turned it all around, you remember? And you find David going back to the city because God was his refuge, and God took care of him. The Lord's my rock, and the Lord's our rock, and him we hide. A shelter in the time of storm, the song says. A shelter in the time of storm. I imagine you've had storms in your life. Maybe you're going through some right now. Some of our families have been through storms just recently. The Gearys are in Kentucky right now because unexpectedly Mandy's mother passed away. And I was there at the house shortly after she passed, and her body was still there in the bedroom. And Celia had just found out, just, she came home on the bus, and her dad was standing there telling her, oh, what a storm to go through. Diana lost her dad and her mom in just about 4 days, lost them both. What a storm to go through. But isn't it good in the midst of a storm to have a refuge, to have a shelter, and that's the Lord? To know that he's going to take care of me through the storm. He's going to supply my needs. He's going to meet with me. He's going to be there for me. He's going to comfort me. He's going to strengthen me. He's going to supply. The Lord is going to take care of me. He's the shelter in the time of storm. Will the storms come? Sure they will. Do they come for Christians? Sure they do. But the Lord is our shelter in the time of storm. He'll protect us from the storm. He'll protect us from the hurt of the storm, even though there's things happening all around that we know we're secure because we're in the Lord. He'll provide for us during the storm. And the Scripture says he'll present us faultless after the storm. When after this storm of life is all over, and we go to be with the Lord, he'll present us faultless because we're in Christ Jesus. You see, the Lord is our refuge. He's our shelter in the midst of the storm. But there's another verse that talks about this that maybe takes a little different approach. And it's found in Isaiah 32, verse 2. It says that as the shade of a great rock in a weary land. As the shade of a great rock in a weary land. Shade's not talking about a storm. The shade of a great rock is talking about one thing, and that's the sun. The heat of the sun. And you know, sometimes we might not be going through a storm in our life. Maybe it's not something that's everything's just falling apart, but maybe it's the daily responsibilities, the things that we have to do, the heat of the day, the pressures of the day, the responsibilities, the things that we need to do. And sometimes it just almost overwhelms us because we have so many things to do. And the Lord says, I am like the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. You know, sometimes we're in a weary land. And the Lord is our shadow. He's the shadow of the great rock. He's the rock. He presents the shadow that we find comfort in. And isn't it good when you have all these things to do and you run here and you run there and you do here this and that, that you have the Lord who's there and he's strengthening you, he's helping you, he's answering your questions, he's assuring you. He's saying all things will work together for good to those that love the Lord. I'll give you the strength that you need to go on. I will be with you. He's my shelter in the midst of the storm. But then also we have to say another, show you another picture of the Lord as the rock. And that is, he's the rock of severity. He's the rock of severity. If you do not trust Jesus and flee to him for refuge, lay hold on that hope, as Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 says. If you do not flee to Christ for refuge and trust him as your Savior, then you're going to face someday the severity of the rock. The Bible says it like this in Matthew 21, verse 44. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. I think that pictures the person who comes to Jesus and says, Lord, I need you as my Savior. And I'm a sinner. There's no way I can go to heaven like I am. I'm a sinner. And I need Jesus. And I believe that Jesus died for my sins on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood for me. He was buried, and then he rose again the third day. I believe the gospel, and I fall on you, Lord, for mercy. And I beg you, I pray for that you'll be my Savior. I trust you, and you fall on the rock. The Bible says, whosoever shall fall on this rock shall be broken. And you know, I believe every person who has ever trusted the Lord as Savior has been broken. You don't come to God in pride, saying, boy, Lord, you're getting the prize. I want to be your servant. Boy, you're getting a prize. No, you don't. You come to the Lord and say, Lord, I agree with you. That's what repentance means, you know. The Bible says repent and believe. Repentance means that you agree with God. You say to the Lord, Lord, you're right. I agree with you. And I have a change of mind about this. And I have a change of mind about what I thought about myself. I change of mind about what I thought about you. And Lord, I repent and I come to you broken as a sinner. And I ask you to be my Savior. The Lord says, if you come to the Lord, you'll be broken. But then he says this, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. The Lord's the rock. You either fall on him and be broken, or he'll fall on you and grind you to powder. There's no escape from God. If you're a rebel, if you're against God, there's no way you will escape. The Bible gives a picture of that in the book of Daniel, chapter 2. You remember the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw? And he wanted somebody to interpret that dream, and Daniel was the one chosen to interpret the dream. In fact, he's the only one that could. And he saw this great image, and it had a head of gold. And then arms and breast of silver, and then brass, and then iron and clay in the toes. And it represented the world kingdoms, the Gentile world kingdoms that was coming. That one at that time was the head of gold, Babylon. And then followed the Medes and the Persians, and then the Grecians, and then the Romans. And then in the end time, during the tribulation period, I believe the revival of the Roman Empire, and yet weaker because it's iron and clay. And the Lord says those great Gentile governments, and those are the ones that have been the world rulers. I mean, Babylon ruled the world. The Medes and the Persians ruled the world. The Greeks ruled the world. The Romans ruled the world. But there hasn't been another one since the Romans fell. Not world power. There hasn't been another one. But there will be during the tribulation period, and that's when the Antichrist is the head of the revived Roman Empire, I believe. And he will pretty much rule the world through Satan. But the Lord says, I will destroy all of those. And the Bible says there was a stone, a rock, cut out of the mountain without hands. God did that. And that rock, which is Jesus Christ, is thrown at the feet of the image, and the one that's existing at that time. But in God's mind, all of them are really there. And it's thrown at the feet of the image and destroys the whole image. All of it comes down. It's all destroyed. God destroys all of mankind's rule. And that stone that cut out of the mountain becomes a great stone and fills the whole earth. And the Bible says that the reign, the kingdom of that stone, Jesus Christ, will last forever and ever. You see, He is the rock of severity. And if you balk at him, if you don't trust him, then you'll experience his wrath someday as the rock comes down. But then there's another rock. Another picture of him is the rock. And that is, he is the stumbling rock, or the rock of stumbling. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Jesus Christ, because people don't like him, because people don't want to receive him, and that's the way it is in many people today. They don't want anything to do with Jesus, and he becomes a stumbling stone to them. They stumble over him. They don't want him. They want him out of the way, but they stumble over him. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23, it says, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, but unto the Greeks foolishness. We have the same today. The Gentile world considers Jesus Christ foolishness. The Jews, even though sometimes they're commendable people, and we would call them people of faith, but they have faith in the wrong thing, and they have rejected Jesus Christ, and to him, he's still a stumbling stone to them. They stumble over Jesus to their own hurt, and they reject him. Romans chapter 9 says, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You see, Christ is an offense to the unbeliever. But to us who believe, 1 Corinthians 1, 24 says he's the power of God. He's the power of God. So if you stumble over Jesus, you'll reap the consequences, and that's not good. Do not stumble over Jesus Christ. To trust him as your Savior is your remedy. And you must know him. If you don't, you'll experience his wrath. But if you trust the Lord, all of us who have trusted the Lord, we know something. And that is, this rock, Jesus, is our rock. He's our rock. Everybody here who knows Jesus as Savior can say, he's mine. He's mine. You notice how David said that? Let's look at it again in Psalm 62. Verse 1, truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. Verse 2, he only is my rock and my salvation. Verse 6, he only is rock and my salvation. Verse 7, in God is my salvation. David said, my salvation. It's personal. It's me. He's mine. I ask you today, is Jesus your Savior? Can you say he's my salvation? Well, David said more than that. Verse 2, in verse 6, he said, he's my rock. He's my salvation. He's my rock. Verse 2 and verse 6, he also said, he is my defense. Personally, he is my defense. In verse 5, he says, he's my expectation. In verse 7, he says, he's my glory. And verse 7, he says, he's my strength. And also in verse 7, he says, he's my refuge. David makes it very personal. And he says, this great rock, the rock of my salvation, the rock of stability, the rock of supply, all of those things, he is my rock. He is my Savior. I hope that we can say today that Jesus is mine. He wants to be our Savior. He wants to be our rock. He wants to be our rock of salvation, stability, supply, strength, and shelter. But if you don't trust him, if you don't want to accept him, if you won't get under the Lord's shelter, if you won't stand on the Lord's foundation, if you won't take the Lord as your help, as your stability, then the Bible says someday he'll be your fierce judge and you will crumble. You'll be broken to pieces, ground to powder, so to speak, because you've resisted the Lord. Today we have many people who do that very same thing, and that is they resist the Lord Jesus. We have world rulers who resist him. We have world rulers who are great in power, who don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. And yet, the Bible says the day will come. It'll be proven, as David said, and that is they are just vanity and they are a lie. And if you put them on God's balance, they would be less than hot air. Less than hot air. I don't want to be that way. I want to be his child and the one that says he is my Savior. Don't be ashamed that you know Jesus as your personal Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for reminding us of this wonderful picture of Jesus. that He is the rock. Lord, I pray that because He is our rock, we'll be stable. We'll be able to say with David, not that I'll just not be greatly moved, but I will not be moved because You are our rock. Lord, when we face times of need, help us not to worry because You're our rock of supply. I pray, Lord, that we might trust You. And if there's somebody here today who's not saved, help them to tremble today at the prospect of being crushed by the rock. May they flee to Jesus today and trust Him as their Savior. We ask in His name.